I'm delighted to introduce this week's podcast sponsor, barefoot footwear company, Vivo Barefoot. Did you know that 90% of kids are wearing shoes that are too small, which prevents their normal natural growth? And Vivo Barefoot shoes keep feet as barefoot as possible because that is the best way to ensure feet stay naturally strong and healthy. They actually increase foot strength and stability by up to 60%. I have known about them for years because my husband Guy is a big fan, but now I'm super excited because they've just launched their first ever walker for toddlers and preschoolers. The shoe is called Pluma, meaning feather, and it's lightweight, flexible, and so soft and snug that actually socks aren't needed. So it is the perfect transition from barefoot to footwear. Now, Vivo Barefoot are offering Motherkind podcast listeners a 10% discount. So use the code MotherkindVB on their website to take advantage of this fantastic offer. That is Vivo Barefoot website, and use the code MotherkindVB. Back to the episode. Hello and welcome to Motherkind, sponsored by Stocker. This is the show that's going to help you feel more confident and empowered in motherhood. This week, it is a solo episode with me because I want to talk about boundaries. You might remember the episode I did at the start of the year. I talked about the four shifts I'm making in 2024, and one of them was completely letting go of this idea of balance and focusing on boundaries instead. Well, I got asked a ton of questions about that, so I thought I would do a full episode on it. I'm going to teach you what boundaries are, what they're not, how to work out what boundaries you might need, how to communicate them, and what to do when you get the inevitable pushback. I reckon this is pretty essential listening this episode because balance in motherhood doesn't exist. I just don't think there's ever going to be a time where all the important things in your life are given a balanced, perfect amount of time, energy, and attention. I just don't think that is ever going to happen. So what do we do instead? And that is where boundaries come in. Boundaries are the limits that you set in your life to manage all the things and feel good about it. You know, there are so many definitions of boundaries floating around. It's become a bit of a buzzword, hasn't it? But I really think of boundaries as a way of recognizing that you are not limitless. You have limits for how much you're able to give. You have limits for what makes you feel okay, what makes you feel safe. You have limits for how many people can come into your life, how people come into your home and your emotions. You have limits at work and you have limits with your kids. When I think about these limits, sometimes I think about fences. Like, imagine rolling hills in the countryside. It's when you put a fence down, a boundary, that is setting a limit. And essentially, that is what we are doing. So telling yourself and others about these limits, about your limits, that is boundaries. And this is so important. And I get so passionate about it because the opposite is acting as if we're limitless, that we have infinite energy to give, infinite time, infinite resources, which of course we don't. And what I've noticed in my life and the lives of our community and my clients is that when we act as if we're limitless, that is when we end up feeling overwhelmed, burnt out, and resentful. So it sounds quite simple, right? Of course we need limits in our lives. Of course I'm not limitless. I need to put those fences up and draw those boundaries. But this is actually really hard to do. Why is that? Well, I think because so many of us, me included, have been taught that it's not kind, quote unquote, to say no, or it's selfish to ask for what we need and put our fence up, that it's our job to make sure that everyone around us is happy at the expense sometimes of our own happiness. And part of using boundaries, part of putting these limits up, is that you might disappoint some people. In order to manage all the things that you're managing, you are going to have to say no. You're going to have to put that fence up, and that might disappoint someone. And disappointing others is hard for many of us. So don't worry. In this episode, I'm going to talk you through exactly how to do this so it doesn't feel too overwhelming. You know, I remember the first time in motherhood that I wanted to set a boundary, but I didn't because I was still very much a people pleaser. So I had this amazing but very hardcore labour with my first. I'd had 37 hours of labour at home. And then once our little love was safely here, we told all our families and they all responded with the same three words, on our way. Now, I hadn't thought about the boundaries I wanted in those early days or weeks. Motherkind didn't exist. I wasn't Zoe Motherkind. I was just Zoe with no clue. So no prior communication had taken place. I hadn't thought about what do I want to happen after the birth. And you know what it's like the hours after birth. You're just on a completely different planet, aren't you? So even though everything in my body was telling me, I do not want visitors, I didn't say it out loud. So there I am, zero sleep for about 4 days, I think at this point, struggling with latching, couldn't get breastfeeding. And I was hosting, I think, 5 visitors, which looking back now is actually insane. Now, let's be very clear. This is not on my family. This is on me because I kept quiet about my needs when I should have spoken up. And that is boundaries. When you speak out loud what you need, you communicate your limits. You don't keep your limits and your needs inside anymore. You tell people. And everyone's limits, by the way, will be completely different. So for some of you listening, you might have loved, in that example I just gave, having everyone standing around the bed meeting the little one. The key is to work out what you need. And here is the incredible thing, because in motherhood, I think we get a bit of a shortcut here. If you're someone who's always struggled with speaking up for yourself, motherhood is kind of the best thing ever because it's not just about you anymore. You have a child to think about. I remember one client told me she had never spoken up to her mother before, even though on the inside she often felt pissed off at her mum. She felt resentful at her mum. She'd never said anything. She kept it all pushed down and smiling on the outside. She was well conditioned as that good girl, which we talk about on the podcast. So her mum, she'd had a baby. Her mum was holding the newborn and she started crying. And so my client said, I'll take her mum, gesturing to her mum to give her back. And her mum went, no, I can settle her, and slightly turned away. And my client did not know what came over her, but her voice became really loud, really clear. And she marched over and she took back her baby and she said, she needs me. And I remember my client telling me that story and I was smiling because I've had so many moments like that where times where I would have kept quiet, there's a fierceness that comes into us in motherhood. And I think for those of us that are recovering people pleasers, that find it hard to say what we need and want, motherhood absolutely unlocks that in us. And I think it's so powerful to lean into that. This is part of the empowerment and the transformation that I talk about has happened in me and I love talking about in motherhood. All right, so where on earth do we start with this? How do we know where we need a boundary? And there's one little simple way that I have learned over the years from coaching on this for far too many hours, and it is where you feel resentful. So you want to have a think about, where in my life do I feel annoyed? Where in my life do I feel taken advantage of or just a bit pissed off? That is usually a sign that you need a limit. You need a boundary. You need to communicate your needs. So I'll give you a small, tiny example of this because that is where you want to start. And even if you're, you know, well practiced in setting boundaries, I still think starting small is really, really powerful. So let me tell you about a tiny, small example in my life. So when my eldest was a newborn, my mum would call every morning to see how the night was, which was just completely gorgeous and sweet and kind. And I felt so supported. But the problem was she would call right at the same time every day, right as I was trying to get myself showered before Guy left for work. And you know what that's like. You have about 25 seconds to shower. And if you don't grab that window, basically you're not showering for the rest of the day. So my mum would call right at that moment. I'd answer, but I'd be really short and rude. I'd be like, yes, we're fine. Great. Thanks. Bye. And I used to feel so annoyed. I think, why is she calling right now? Doesn't she know this is like the most intense moment of my day when I'm trying to get in the shower before I'm on my own with a newborn for the next 8 hours? Well, no, she didn't know because I hadn't told her. And of course I could have not answered, but I was practicing more honesty in my relationships. So one afternoon, I phoned her and I said this to her. Hey, mum, I love that you called to check on us. It is so kind, but it's just a really tricky time for me. That's why I am short and sometimes sound a bit rude. Can we speak after lunch? She said, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Of course. Done. Sorted. And I know that that is a tiny, tiny, tiny example. But imagine 100 tiny examples like that through your day, through your week. If we're able to express those needs and those limits, it really, really can transform not only your relationships, but how you feel. So have a think now. Maybe pause, or when you get back home, if you're listening to this out and about, have a think about, where is there someone in your life where you feel pissed off, you feel resentful, you feel annoyed, and think, is there something in my control? That's really important. Is there something in my control that I can do differently here? Do I need to communicate something here? What am I not saying? Is there a limit I need to set? Am I keeping quiet about that limit? And what would it mean to speak up? Now, here's something really, really fascinating and important, which is that you already have these limits. It's just that you're keeping them inside. You already know that it doesn't feel good when your father-in-law pops in unannounced, or that your partner doesn't share the school pickups, or that your boss keeps WhatsApping you after work hours. Your body will already be telling you that that doesn't feel good. It's just we need to trust that, accept it, and think about, okay, what am I going to do about this? Because you deserve to not have that constant low-level hum of resentfulness and annoyance with people around you. Once you've thought about a couple of boundaries, make sure they're really small. Don't start with big, complex ones that have been bubbling for decades. Start with something super simple and small, like in that example I gave with the phone call with my mum. How on earth do you communicate them? So I devised a little coaching tool around this, which I call the 3 C's of boundary communication. The first one is considerate, the second one is clear, and the third one is compromise. So, first one, considerate. Like everything in life, when you're communicating a boundary or a limit, timing is everything. You're not going to want to get a boundary or talk about the boundary for the first time when you're in the middle of a massive argument, or when emotions are really high. That's just not going to go how you want it to go. Remember, boundaries are not weapons. They're not used to try and control other people. They are us setting limits for ourselves. For ourselves. It's you communicating your limits. So before you chat about this, have a think about what might be the best time for you and the other person. A couple of other tips here. Keep the focus on you. Boundaries are not to blame or shame the other person. So in that example that I gave with my mum, I didn't say, it's so annoying that you call at X. Why can't you call a different time? I used I statements, and that is really important. It doesn't work for me when I find that I need, because you're owning, you're taking responsibility for your needs, not blaming the other person. Also, when you go at someone with those you statements and you're pointing that finger metaphorically, all you'll get back, and you guys know this, of course, from experience, all you'll get back is a defensive response. So keep your focus on you. Here's another tip. Don't use the word boundary. A client did this once. She said, I told my mum I'm setting a boundary with her. And I was like, okay, how did it go? She went, not well. Not surprising, because I think if you use that word boundary, it sounds like therapy speak, doesn't it? And unless you're speaking to someone who is in therapy, who you have that sort of shared language with, I would say don't use the word boundary, because it also could sound quite superior. Like, I've decided to start using boundaries. It kind of can feel like I'm better than you, and you don't want to get into that place at all. So think about keeping it quite light, like using phrases like, I was wondering if, it would be better for me if, I find it really hard when, could we talk about this? You're, of course, what you're doing, you know you're doing, is you're setting a boundary, you're setting a limit, but definitely don't come in with the heavy-handed therapeutic language. It probably won't go that well. This episode is sponsored by Tea India. If you know me, you will know I am obsessed with tea. So I'm really excited to tell you about Tea India, especially their chai. I absolutely love chai. It's a blend of cinnamon, cloves, ginger, cardamom, and each cup of Tea India's chai is just so comforting. There's no additives, no compromises, just real tea and real spices, keeping it simple and satisfying. I'm also excited to tell you about the all-new decaf masala chai. It's everything you love about masala chai, minus the caffeine kick. So if you're pregnant or for any reason you don't want caffeine, this is the drink for you, especially if you are craving a deliciously warm decaf cuppa that does not compromise on taste. You can find Tea India in all supermarkets nationwide and their decaf masala chai in Waitrose. You can also purchase Tea India on their website, teaindia.co.uk, and use my exclusive discount code MOTHERKIND10 for 10% off your first order. The second point is kind. So Brené Brown, who I know many of us are absolutely obsessed with, although she's gone quite quiet recently, hasn't she? But she says that clear is kind. And I am obsessed with this idea because I used to think it was much kinder to smooth things over, to say yes when everything in me wanted to say no, to minimize how I really felt. But actually, that is not kind at all because the other person doesn't get a genuine version of me. And if I keep doing that, I'm just going to end up resenting that person. So I'm ultimately going to harm the relationship. So clear is kind. I always think about this when, if I ask someone out for a coffee, so say I meet a new mum friend or someone at the school gates, I think, oh my God, I just love that person. I love that energy. And I ask them out for a coffee, right? And they didn't want to upset me. They might be people pleaser. So they say yes, even though they don't want to go for a coffee with me, or maybe they're too busy, or maybe they just don't like me. I would hate the idea of someone sat there, but really not wanting to be there. I would hate that. For me to be sat there thinking, this is so nice, we're having such a nice coffee, but really on the inside, that person is feeling like, I just don't want to be here. I would hate that. I would every single time prefer that person to say, do you know what? I just don't have any capacity at the moment to go for coffees. I'm so sorry. My work schedule is bonkers. Or actually, could we go for a cup of tea in the evening instead? Or I would way rather someone was just honest and clear with me than they did something resentfully or not really wanting to be there. So I always think about that. I think it is a complete gift and it's a respect to other people to be honest with them about your needs. So clear is kind. And the third one is compromise. So I think, you know, on Instagram, social media, people have this idea that boundaries are kind of these walls that we set up. Sometimes they are in extreme examples, but normally boundaries are flexible. Normally you can absolutely compromise around them. So before you have a conversation about setting a limit or a need or a boundary, not using those languages, of course, think about what you'd like to happen as a result. Just think it through a minute. Is this person likely to go, like my mum did, because it was such a small thing? Cool, great, got it. Or is it a bigger thing? And actually, you're going to have to think about, what would I compromise on here? You know, I hear this a lot with when our children go to stay with grandparents, you know, and what am I willing to compromise on here? I don't give them sugar in my home, but is it okay if they have a little bit like grandparents or not? Like, how non-negotiable is this limit for me? It's really important to think about that and have a think about it beforehand, because boundaries can absolutely include compromise. And often, you know, if I'm with Guy and we're chatting about our different needs, often we'll come to a compromise. Like, it's not, we're not standing there rigidly shouting, this is what I need. It's always a two-way conversation. All right, so let's take a breath. The hardest bit about boundaries isn't actually communicating them. It is holding them. And we all know that as parents, right? It's really easy to say, turn your screen off. But actually, when they're saying and crying and begging and screaming for 5 more minutes, the hardest part on our nervous system is holding that. And it's the same with setting these limits and needs in other areas of our lives. So in the most part, expressing our needs, what we want for most of us is uncomfortable. Actually, for me, when I first started doing it, it felt like torture. When I first started saying what I actually needed, I found it so hard. So the moment it was questioned and someone would say, really? You can't come? Why can't you stay for lunch? I would just want to jump in. Sometimes I did and say, do you know what? You're right. I'm being silly. Of course we'll come for lunch. Of course we'll drive 5 hours for an hour coffee. Yeah, that's no problem. Of course we will. Because I found it so uncomfortable to say to myself, you are worth making this other person potentially uncomfortable or disappointing this other person. That is what you're worth. And someone said to me on the podcast, your boundaries are an external representation of your worth. And so it makes complete sense to me that when I was struggling with low worth, I also completely struggled to express my needs. Of course I did. So it's really hard. And I always am so passionate about talking about this because I don't think it's spoken about enough, that it can feel deeply uncomfortable to set limits in your lives. In fact, it's even got its own name. Some therapists call that discomfort the afterburn, which is like those feelings of guilt, fear, maybe even anxiety that we get when we start expressing our needs. And because maybe if it's the first time ever you've started beginning actually taking care of yourself and your needs, they call it afterburn because it can feel, I think that guilt of when you say, actually, sister, I can't come to the barbecue on Sunday because my family are exhausted and we just need to put a movie on. You can often feel so much guilt about that and question yourself, is it okay that I did this? Does this make me a bad sister? Am I a bad human? Especially if the other person then goes, I thought you were a good sister. I thought you were a supportive sister. It is really hard, isn't it, to stand in our truth? Like, no, it is okay. I am allowed to disappoint other people to meet mine and my family's needs, but it's hard to stay in that place. It does get much, much, much easier with practice. So the trick is, don't let those feelings convince you that you're doing something wrong, because you're not. You are allowed to express your needs. And you know, when you first start setting these limits, you might feel like a bad person. I know I definitely had that. And it was just because I was so new to valuing myself. It was just new to me. I was so used to being limitless. I was so used to giving. I was so used to keeping how I really felt stuffed deep inside and just feeling resentful and annoyed a lot. So actually, you know, you are not a bad person. I need to reassure you that you matter, your needs matter. And when you start expressing them with practice, it will get so much easier. And I promise you, the short-term discomfort of that afterburn is well worth the payoff that you're going to get of less resentment, more energy, and more self-worth for asking from what you need. All right, here's another key point that I want to leave you with before we close, is that you are responsible for one thing, and that is your reactions and behaviors. And other people are responsible for theirs. The question that I get asked the most is, but what if the other person reacts? Well, the other person will always react. Like, think about it. If anyone's ever set a limit with you, you're going to react to that. That's just human. But it doesn't mean that your limit is wrong. It just means that the other person's going to have a reaction. Like, good or bad, they are going to. We can't expect to set a new limit maybe with our boss and our boss is going to go, oh, cool, yeah, great, okay, got you. They're probably going to push back a bit. That is okay. All right, so that is where sometimes we might have to think about a fourth C, which is consequence. So I really hope that when you start setting these limits, most people in your life, they're supportive of you, they love you, they want to see you thrive, they're going to say, okay, got it, let's work on this. Maybe we compromise, let's figure it out. Thank you for being honest with me. That is my greatest wish for you. Sometimes that doesn't happen, where if someone is repeatedly ignoring your request or your limit, then you might need to think about the fourth C, which is consequence. And I hear this a lot with grandparents looking after children. So, you know, being asked, please don't do more than 2 hours screen time, please no sugar, please make sure they're asleep by nine. And then that just being continually ignored, you might need to think about consequences. So you have to think about, what do I do when someone in my life doesn't respect my needs or wishes? What options do I have? How important is this to me? It goes back to what we were saying before. How important is this to me? And this is massive, actually, figuring out, what do I do when someone continually tramples over my needs or wishes? Well, the first thing I'd say is, it says a lot about that person. It says a lot about your relationship, and it says a lot about their emotions. emotional maturity. But we're not here to judge another person. What we're here to do is figure out, what do I do? And I actually did a whole episode on this with Melissa Urban, who's a boundaries expert, and she wrote the book, The Book of Boundaries. And we did, I think, about 25 minutes on exactly this point. What do we do? Also, what do we do when our partner might have a different boundary to us? And in that episode, Melissa talks through this amazing system that she's developed where two people can figure out, okay, how do we compromise on this boundary? How do we communicate it? If it's your parents or if it's our parents, how do we do that? I would definitely go and listen to that one, because I don't have time in this short solo to dive all the way into that. But thinking about that 4C consequence is really important. Okay. So that was 7 years of practicing, coaching, studying boundaries in about 25 minutes. I really hope that was helpful. I hope it got you thinking about the limits that you need in your life. If you can take one idea away from this episode, it would be that you are not limitless. You cannot give in a limitless way. You need these limits. You need to put those fences up in your garden. And that is boundaries. So I'm right here. I'm cheering you on. I'm sending you love. Let me know what you thought of the episode. Let me know any boundaries that you're setting. And I will see you next time.